advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hello. Welcome to the Sofa King Podcast.
Yo.
I'm sitting with Dave and Brent.
Yo.
Brent just had his high school reunion. Was it your 50th year?
Yeah.
High school reunion?
65th.
They 65th usually
don't
year.
Yeah, they usually don't have half. They don't have half years usually, but I'm so old that they're like, they might not be around.
Yeah, we might not make it to 70. Yeah. Yeah.
We do this shit.
Yeah. There's like six people there. Everybody else is dead. Or in a home.
There's only six at like your 20th. You're alone at your 60th.
At the 65th?
Yeah.
All by yourself. All by myself.
That was good.
Thank you. All harmonized.
Yeah.
See, I went to my 10-year reunion, and it was like, to me, it was a bigger deal because I left town months after graduation and had never gone back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, I haven't seen any of you motherfuckers once in 10 years. But like once I got there, like myself and like two other people who moved to Minneapolis were the only ones who were excited because everybody else was like, yeah, I see that motherfucker at Albertsons every week.
Yeah.
It was just like nobody else gave a shit.
Guy,
but we were like, I haven't seen you guys in 10 years. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be strange to still be in town with all of them.
Yeah.
If I moved away, it would have been sad because I couldn't afford a plane ticket to get back. That was the impressive part. I was like, damn.
People were flying in.
Yeah, they flew in. I was like, damn, you guys bought plane tickets? They're doing all right.
That's kind of a waste of money. I'd have done better shit with that money for sure.
Yeah, I flew in.
Yeah.
But again, I think it was more than just for the reunion. It was like, I haven't seen a lot of my friends in 10 years either.
Yeah, so yeah, family like, there still or something, no?
No. Not not in Battle Creek, I didn't.
Nada.
Well, I just want a quick shout out to Chris Lewis for reintroducing me to a lost long love of King Cobra. I
went out and bought Lost Long Love.
Yeah, Lost Long Love. Went out and bought me another six pack last night.
I was kind of upset you didn't buy me some, but I realized what a mission that was after you told me, so I could see where you'd be stupid.
No, there is a conspiracy now brewing in my brain that King Cobra is only sold in the ghetto. And
yeah, you live
I have proved that. I searched everywhere on my side of town. I live in a nicer area. I just don't want to live in the, I lived in the ghetto all my life. I don't want to live in the ghetto. I don't want to live where Brent and, Dave live.
Right.
So, I moved my family away like the Clampets and, now I can't find my favorite beverage. So I had to drive all the way inland, to go to a liquor store with bars on the windows. And then for sure they had it.
I know what the problem is. I just figured it out.
What?
You were going to liquor stores.
No. I had to go to a liquor store.
That's like, where you get it.
You didn't go to a liquor store. You went to a liquisto.
Yes. Yes. And my first instinct was to call Tyrone, but I didn't want him to laugh at me.
Yeah, he would have.
I didn't want to hear it.
Tyrone has the app. He would have just.
Yeah. I didn't want to hear it. So I left. I just left it be, and I wasted a tank of gas searching. No. But I mean, I even going to places like BevMo, like nobody had it. Like
not a liquisto.
Yeah.
Dude, we should make a Cobra Finder. Like we should totally make a Cobra.
We should. We really should. But then people would be getting killed using our app, like Pokemon Go. Like it'd be like it'd be King Pokemon Cobra Go for Black Go. People. Like it's just they show up and get shot.
I know I don't have.
Because everybody knows where everybody's at.
I don't have the resources for it, but if there's not a beer finder app, that's probably
You probably should do it. We just gave you $1 million idea, so that's what you get for listening to the Sofa King Podcast.
That's right.
So yeah, thank you, Chris Lewis. If it was meant to be a joke, joke's on you. So yeah, and to all our beer snob friends out there, you haven't had real beer till you've had King Cobra.
And then Mike Money gave us a bottle of wine that's Sofa King Bueno, but
yes,
Brad hates wine. Dave said he'd drink it, but we have not.
I mean, I'll drink it, but I am not, I'm not, I can't give a true, like, if I like it or not, because I can already tell you I don't like it.
We also don't have a corkscrew. I have a Swiss Army knife upstairs, but it's a computer one, and I realize there's no yeah, corkscrew on it.
The corkscrew's
really, yeah, the jury's already in for me. It's like a Ku Klux Klan member sitting on the jury for a black guy who committed a crime.
No wine.
Supposedly, yeah, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, no, I've tried, like, I spent a good chunk of time, like, trying to drink wine. I was like, I love hard liquor. I'm not a huge beer fan. It just kind of fills me up and I feel gross when I drink it. And for, like, I even went, like, a couple of friends of mine who live on the Central Coast and have a lot of money and go to wineries all the time and are, like, full on wine snobs. They, like, I spent like about a half a week with them at their place, and they were, like, obsessed with finding wine I would like, and were, like, spending all this money and buying all these wines. And at the end of the day, every single bottle, I was like, meh.
Oh, it kind of tastes the same.
Yeah. I could tell it tasted like this tastes better than the other one. But now you're getting to the point where you just spent as much for that bottle of wine that I think is okay as I would have spent on, like, a totally decent bottle of whiskey.
And whiskey
that would last me a lot longer and be tastier. I'm just like,
You know what's weird about alcohol is, like, how you get different drunks. Like, wine gives you a hug on the couch. But my problem is then it gives you a fucking headache at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it for me. Like, right. I actually like wine, but for some reason, I don't know what it is. I get a headache and I'm scared of it now.
It's the tannins.
Biff tannins. So many Biff tannins.
Biff tannins.
Brad doesn't know what that is.
What is that?
With tannins. I don't fucking know. Every time somebody mentions something about wine, it's like, oh, that helps you defeat cancer. It's like, why? It's the tannins.
No, Brad doesn't know what Biff tannin is.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Back to the Future. Yeah, I know who it is. I just was like, what's that have to do with the wine?
Yeah. Tannins. Anyway. That's his last name.
So a couple shout outs. Want to shout out El Yucateco, who actually, you know, flew in and came into our studio and recorded an episode, which was really fun. How'd they like the float, by the way?
They said that they were soggy rats, so they couldn't go to the tiki bar afterwards. They were not presentable because it's like getting out of a bathtub and getting in your car, but they liked it.
Yeah, it's different. So cool.
Yeah. Thanks to El Yucateco. I want to find out how the hot sauce convention went too. That sounded really
awesome.
And somebody who was it that posted every time we talk about the hot sauce, it reminds them of something horrible. Did you see that post?
No.
I have to look it up. Yeah, every time we mention it, it reminds them of, like, something horrible that happened, and, like, they have to deal with it every time they listen to us.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it sucks. So hot sauce.
Their sphincter tightens a little bit every time it happens. They're like, ooh.
No, I forget where it's at. I'll have to find it. But thank you to El Yucateco. And I want to give a couple shout outs, people on Twitter, Dan Lafner. Thank you. Sharky Xmas. Thank you. And Into the Flood, as always. Thank you guys. And Levi Hummin. Thank you. If you're into country, as we shouted out, Into the Flood, they are a hardcore band. I don't know the exact label they have because they are a little bit different. They're from Washington. Check them out. If you're into country, I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to us are into country and hate all the music that I play at the end of the show because you're racist. But other than that, if you're into country, listen to Levi Hummin, up-and-coming Universal recording artist who gave us a shout-out on Twitter. So thank you, Levi, and good luck to you on your travels. Other than that, let's talk about some white power.
That's right.
Boys, to tell you what, I didn't bring Tyrone with me today because, oh, man.
He would have blown a gasket.
Yeah, and if he gets an Uber and comes down here, we're fucked. Like, the show will be taken over because he was pissed last night when I was watching documentaries.
Baby mama's got a car?
Yeah. He said he threatened an Uber. I took his wallet. So if I get pulled over for speeding, that's what ID the cops
getting. You won't use Uber because all the drivers are white.
Probably not. I don't know. Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
They won't get in the car with a Tyrone.
Well, I think Tyrone won't get in the car with them.
Yeah. I don't know. He might.
That's what I meant, but I backlashed.
Yeah.
I stepped it up.
So our topic today, we've talked about various cults. We've talked about various different things. And we had thought that it would be interesting to look into not a cult, but, you know, sort of a good old boy hate group. And we wanted to look at the KKK.
Yeah, really a terrorist organization.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I really didn't know.
I didn't know that there was like generations of like came out, went away, came back, went away, came back.
Yeah, like right now we're on our third.
Fourth. It's the fourth generation. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's fourth generation.
The IKA or something though. It's called something different now.
It's like the body style of a Camaro. We're on the fourth gen. Yeah.
It's now called like the International Clan of America. And those fools are crazy. They have like guard stands and machine guns and shit.
Yeah, it went from being like a fraternity to a really crazy hate group to like a militia now. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And really stamped a bad name on militias, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't believe that all militias are hate groups.
Because there's a lot of upstanding militias out there doing good things.
There's normal people in militias, Brent. Yeah. And yeah, I would really be careful what you're saying.
Patricia, the militia.
That's the one you're in.
It's a tough one. Yeah. It's called Patricia, the militia.
No, I went and fired guns at basically a local militia group that's just outside of Bakersfield. And they were a cool
group of people.
They're the guys
when the shit hits the fan, they get people together and they have guns.
It's a place. It's a plot of land outside of town. The only people that can go there are ex-Marines. But if you're an ex-Marine, you're welcome to go. And my father-in-law is an ex-Marine and he took me out there and they were loading up trucks full of all these rations that they had to like give to food drives and like home bank, you know, like food banks and stuff. And I mean, they were a cool group of guys. I mean, they didn't, and they were all ethnicity. I think you might know
some of the same guys I know then.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, have, okay. Yeah.
Maybe my opposition is just a cover. Maybe you don't know everything, man.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I'm.
But they don't, you know,
Southern on us.
They don't get all fucking wackadoo and make the news. No. Though, so
well, you have extremes of everything, just like we've talked about in religion. You have extreme religionists where they're killing for their religion, mm-hmm. And then you have people who just you know have a religion. You know, so I mean, this is no different.
By the way, if we were going to start a cult, right now would be the time to start, and I would have it have something to do with Pokemon.
If we were,
that's
we
true. Yeah.
Like if you wanted a cult right now, that's your gateway.
You're knee deep right now, fool. You don't even know.
Shit. How do we do it then? Like what's the plan?
We need an app.
We do.
Yeah. You have to.
Well, so we have the Beer Finder app.
Yeah.
And then we,
I think like, it has what, to do with, doing? I think it has to do with Brad dressing like Squirtle in Central Park and trying to like lure people.
Like you look, but with your phone, you don't see it. Without your phone, right, you actually
see
me.
Squirtle sitting there.
Yeah.
You figure that out. You're gonna
you don't know who Squirtle is?
No. It's a Pokemon.
You're such a Charmander. I don't know. Those are.
So my neighbor who occasionally listens to the podcast, he came out and he's like, "You playing Pokemon Go?" And I was like, "Nah, I ain't got no time for that shit, man." I was like, "Fucking blah, 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 just talking shit, right?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, we play on our break sometimes." And I'm like, "Oh, my bad." Like,
fuck that. Feel free to talk shit.
Yeah. No, I just feel like if you want to set, like they play on their break and stuff. And he works at the hospital that you took your daughter to go find the one. And they have all the things on their phones to try and attract them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but I was like, whatever. If you don't have anything else better to do on a break or whatever, like that's fine. But if you're wasting tanks of fuel to drive around and go find some fake creature run across freeways and get hit by cars, like, that's a little extreme.
There's a bunch of crazy conspiracies about it.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, I'd rather take a van and run over 100 people.
But yikes, too soon.
Too soon.
I called it. That was my Nostradamus event. Yeah. I said that exact thing. So
okay, KKK. If we look at them, like I said, I didn't know that much about them. I mean, I knew, you know, they hate people and they dress in white robes, et cetera, et cetera. But when I really looked at the history, it was really... I was pretty interested in what happened because it started in, like, the ideas started to assemble in about 1860, from what I read. Ulysses S. Grant had just become president, and the federal government was now being led by Republicans. And there were a bunch of groups all throughout the South that hated the Republicans, hated Ulysses S. Grant. And the actual foundation of the Klan was in 1965 in a place called Pulaski, Tennessee. And it was a social club for six Confederate soldiers that would just sort of get together and just nothing, just a small little group. And, it ended up, they started to organize people primarily not because of their hatred for black people, but because of their hatred for Republicans, which I thought was really strange. Like, I never would have seen that coming. So they hated Republicans so much that they and the blacks supported the Republicans. So they knew that if they could shoot down, you know, blacks that were voting or black political leaders, but they were going after Republican political leaders as much as they were going after blacks when they first started. And the whole thing was just an attempt to quiet the Republican voices and keep a Democratic power in place where they were. And I don't know, like I always, it's so easy to look at history and think, you know, fucking dark days are behind us. You know, it's so easy to think World War II, you know, we're not dumb enough to let that happen again. We think of everything, you know, but when I was reading this history, I was like, everything in this history is something that could just flat out happen again.
Yeah.
People, you know, starting with a political movement and then, you know, spilling against towards hatred for a group of people. I mean, hate breeds hate. And this is kind of what they were doing.
And in this time, like what we're seeing too, you're seeing a bunch of media is promoting white on black violence.
Yep.
And then that's sparking black on white violence.
Yep.
And it's creating this mood where people are like, well, if fucking a bunch of black people are just going to go around beating up and killing a bunch of white people, well, like
I'm going to beat up and kill a bunch of black people.
Why not go ahead and join? Yeah, let's go ahead and get back in the KKK and then get this thing rolling. You know, like it's just promoting this just egregious sense of racism, and media is fueling it, you know, but like you said, it's definitely something that if you don't know your history, and this is why history is important, kids, is if you don't know your history, history will come back around, and it always does.
Yeah, it always does.
It always does.
And I just kept, and as the Klan kept going away and resurging, it was like every resurgence of it kind of reminded me that these things definitely come back, right? And in these early days, so they in 1865, this small group starts, and then they start to get a lot more followers because of this anti-Republican sentiment in the South. And then by May of 1866, there was a quarrel between a bunch of whites and ex-black soldiers, and it erupted into a full riot in Memphis, Tennessee. And the white policemen assisted the mobs on a violent rampage through black sections of town. Like the cops were just with the
mob.
The mob. And by the end of it, 46 people were dead. 70 more were wounded. Churches and schools were burnt to the ground, et cetera. And this starts to be the mood that gets incited by this group. And then in July of that same year, 1866, there was a similar outbreak in New Orleans. This time it was a white mob that attacked attendees of a black suffrage convention trying to get the right for blacks to vote. 37 blacks were killed. 3 whites were killed with them as well. But it starts to grow. By 1868, they'd evolved into this sort of organization that starts to wear hoods and starts to do all this stuff.
And it
stuff.
Was set out to be kind of a fraternity.
When it started, that's what it was.
Yeah, and then and gradually worked into these terrorist acts.
And the dress-up thing, I guess they were trying to be the ghosts of the Confederate Army and just like scare them.
They would say that. Yeah, it was more about scaring.
Like that some of them, they were so super, the blacks were superstitious, and that like when they saw, oh, that scared the shit out of them. They acted really crazy. They ran away. They saw. I mean, most people probably knew.
Well, and that's where
white dudes in robes.
And in the South, that's kind of where the term spooks came from.
Yeah.
You know,
they called
spooks.
And most of the time, they would attack at night, and they're wearing those things. And what makes you wonder if that's where the whole ghost
and they're burning the cross.
white sheet ghost thing even came from. You know
it could have, yeah.
It probably has.
But they didn't. They didn't start out wearing the white hoods. It was like masks and like whatever they could.
It was
could.
Like a scarecrow.
And
it all, I read
there was a group called the Sons of Malta, which I read a little bit about, and I couldn't really figure out exactly what the Sons of Malta were. I know it was northern. It wasn't in the south.
Yeah. They said but that it was that's like their whole initiation was based on the Sons of Malta,
and it was kind of a Masonic ripoff. It was like they wanted to have a fraternity, but not be Masons. And the Sons of Malta were popping up all over. Because again, we talked about it on our Mason show. There was like this weird anti-Masonic sentiment, but people still wanted fraternities or gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah, which is weird. It was like, you're mad because you can't get in.
Right. So we'll start our own, you know? So the Sons of Malta, and the only thing I could find out about them was that they were famous for their bizarre rituals in order to join and all this weird stuff. And you had to wear costumes and do all this stuff. And apparently this original 1965 clan based some of what they did, their initiations, their weird rituals, their obscurity on what the Sons of Malta did. And I think this might have been part of where the hoods came in and all that kind of stuff, just because of this ritualization of what
they were
doing.
I saw some videos of like the initiation. It's weird. Like when you think of it from the outside, everything seems so like secret and mysterious and like, oh, that's kind of, it's like almost kind of like when you see the Mason thing, that's kind of cool. But then when you watch it happening, it's like, it's really lame. Like, it's like a movie with no score. Like they're sitting there and they're like holding torches all, hey man, I agree to hold up the white power and I am verbally certified that I am of no other race and I will hold up the laws and standards. And they're just like holding a torch and like, this Let's is fucking
do,
retarded.
You know what? I want to do genetics tests on everybody. I guarantee you have Asian in you. Somebody's probably black, you know, like even if it's an eighth or a 16th.
There's some fucking Iroquois in there. Yep. Like, you got some shit going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
A little bit of Mexican. Grandma was doing something.
Like that's just the way it works.
Do they keep it secret or they just off their self? Like what happens?
Man, I don't know.
Like, they just become a cutter.
I just, one thing I loved about Dave Chappelle was his take on racism. Yeah. Like, and I've always
said. The blind racist black
guy.
I
don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but I've always said that racism is funny. And I don't mean like, hey, let me go out and kill a black guy and that's funny. Like, that's not what I mean. It's when you can take it lightly, when you can take that people are different than you lightly and you make fun of each other and it becomes funny. It's what Chris Rock does. It's what Dave Chappelle did. You know, it's what comedians do.
Right.
And it's funny. And that's great, you know, but when you take it seriously,
And that's the thing. I mean, a good comedian who's looking at those issues is exploiting the same stereotypes that a hate monger is exploiting, except they're doing it to make you laugh and to make you come together and find commonality instead of using it to drive a wedge.
It's kind of like the Canadians and the maple syrup Kool-Aid man.
Right.
Like that's something that, you know, like it's not obviously not true.
Right.
What do you think the social acceptance of like it happening in the arena of a comedian is because you're absolutely pretty much with all certainty sure that he's fucking kidding.
Except sometimes they're probably not.
They might not.
But the thing is though that like the funny things are the truth. You know what I mean? Like the comedian Lewis Black, he reads the news.
Yeah.
And he literally reads the news and it is hilarious because the news is absolutely ridiculous.
Right. But it's also the setting. I mean, you go in.
Yeah, the setting. You know it's supposed to be funny.
If you go into a comedy club, I mean, someone can start talking about cancer or about AIDS or about whatever. And you're already in a space where you're laughing and you're waiting for them to somehow make cancer funny. And if you're
if it never gets funny, like that's where you're like.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean.
You go into the oncology wing and start saying that shit.
And there's nothing fun. Yeah, the same exact punchline is going to get your ass kicked.
Get your ass kicked at Popeye's Chicken. Yeah. You start saying shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but no, so this original clan, and they called themselves the Invisible Empire of the South, and that's still a term that they'll use today. And from what I had read, and this was from one of the clan members in the 1800s, they allegedly had 550,000 members throughout the South, and they claimed that they could muster a 40,000 man army in 24 hours.
Yeah.
That was their claim in the 1800s.
But they weren't that organized. I don't think they could get, they would have sent a fucking crow.
You're not going to, send me a tweet. I'll show up like, you know, by fucking train, which will take me 5 days, you know.
If they're all in a specific area, you know, if it is the South and they're just within, you know, miles of each other, Could. I mean,
but there's, I mean, there might have been 550,000 people, but I just don't think you could have gotten 40,000 people together in a day. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a way to get the news to 40,000 people, much less. It's not like they're hopping in their Prius and driving up.
And
the
we got to go on the assumption that they were trying to scare people.
Right.
You know, this was their scare tactic.
Right. So you obviously want to inflate your numbers as well.
And not even that, even if the numbers are true, you're saying that you can assemble an army of 40,000 men overnight, you know, like that's kind of crazy, you know, like
right
at their peak in the 20s, they were up to like,
are you going
to
test them?
5 million people or something?
Yeah, that
15.
Yeah,
that's coming. Was the second.
Yeah, yeah, that's the second generation. Second, yeah.
But in this one, so the final couple things that I saw about the first clan that I thought was interesting is that I was trying to find some numbers, and within this era between like the 1860s and the 1870s in Kansas alone, over 2000 murders were committed, not just of blacks, again, in connection with the election.
Yeah.
2000 people were murdered to alter the course of the election.
Yeah, if you're, which was one of the big moves for the Klan, because they needed the power.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you can get people of your fraternity, you know, of your group in power.
Right.
And a lot of times, if they weren't Klan backed, they wouldn't get anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people knew, like, oh, this person's backed by the Klan. They're in, you know what I mean? Because we're not going to die.
I mean, can you imagine the media? Can you imagine what would happen right now if in one state between now and November in Kansas, 2000 people were assassinated trying to change?
Oh, it'd be crazy.
They went and like pulled people out of jail. Like, it's crazy. Like that. How scary was that back then? That's so scary, because it didn't. If you're white but just sympathetic, you know, or not racist as fuck, like, you might be a target. Like, that's just scary as shit.
Well, if you're a sympathizer, you are.
Yeah, some people were in jail and they took them out of jail and shot them and buried them in the woods. Like, that's crazy.
Again, that was just in Kansas, 2,000 people, just about the election. And again, that wasn't.
And that's
just
not
blacks.
Even the worst area.
No, Georgia was worse, but
Georgia,
I couldn't find
and North Carolina, in Missouri,
Louisiana,
Alabama.
In Louisiana, 1,000 blacks were killed around the election. And guess what? In all of those states, Democrats won decisive victories at the polls because, holy shit, they're fucking murdering people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not going to go vote. Like, if there's a chance I'm going to get murdered, like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Not
or
that
I'm just
into
voting
it.
For whoever they tell me to vote for.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Right. And then it came to a head, like, the violence got so bad that really what ended sort of the first generation of the Klan, starting in about 1870, 1871, Congress started passing acts that they called the Enforcement Acts, and it made it a crime to interfere with registration, with voting, with office holding, jury service of blacks. About 5,000 people were indicted under these laws, and about 1,000 of them were convicted and served time. In 1871, Congress passed the Ku Klux Klan Act, which allowed the government to act against them as a terrorist organization, and they arrested hundreds of people. But in 1882, the Supreme Court ruled that the Klan Act was unconstitutional and had it overturned. But a series of laws started popping up that made it harder to intimidate. But again, that's something that still happens to this day in poor neighborhoods and whatever. Like, there are things in place to restrict voting, not as anywhere in the realm of murdering 2,000 people in one state.
Yeah. Long lines, not long ropes.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Come a long way. But.
Yeah. But I mean, still, it's like, again, as I was seeing all this shit, it's like, I don't think that 2,000 people getting murdered is really likely to happen between now and November. So, I mean, again, the days aren't quite that dark, but a lot of it just kind of had a flavor of what's happening in the current political campaign. Like, I can understand how this got to that.
Yeah, they shouldn't have taken the violent path. Like, they should have stayed shady, like kept it Masonic and Scientologist. Like,
well, and that's
put people in place, you know, done it sneaky and smart. But
that's one thing that you'll see in this podcast is that throughout the Klan's history, the only ones that have taken them down has been themselves.
Right.
Right.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Self.
Or
Brad just found a V.
Litigation. Like, those are the two things that have ever stopped the Klan. Not violence, not, it's like either they fuck themselves up or some new laws or a bunch of lawsuits stop
them. The new laws came in play, and then they went and fucking just broke them, you know, and got busted, you know.
Right.
So
after that, the Klan kind of died out. like from the 1870s, 1880s, it kind of mostly went away. It wasn't really a big thing. It was just kind of dead in the water. But
until
in 1915, it resurged, and it fucking resurged massively.
Yes, I believe this is the largest
ever.
ever. Yeah, they got huge in the 20s.
And did you guys see the from what I read, there were two things that they said led to the surge of the second Klan. One of them was D.W. Griffith's film, silent film, Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, now that was interesting because the president actually screened it in the White House mm-hmm. and then went on and said that it was crazy, but true. And that really set the tone for that film.
Oh, that's crazy.
Who was the president at the time? Was it Johnson or?
It wasn't Johnson. I forget who it was.
The bigger thing was that the depiction of the Ku Klux Klan in that movie.
Yes.
They were heroes.
They glorified themselves, and they actually mimicked the movie because they weren't as quite as cool as that movie made them.
Right.
Like, as far as like not cool, but you know, the way they thought about
glorified
themselves.
Glorified and whatever.
So yeah, they adapted and adopted like that vision and stereotype that the movie portrayed of them. And it like, I don't know, it was like their soundtrack, like they're Rocky, you know?
Right.
Like you watch Rocky and you want to be a boxer. They watch that and then they became.
So bigger. If you're not familiar with the movie, basically it portrayed black men being monsters
yes.
and raping white women. Yep. Yep. And then the Ku Klux Klan would
these
come
noble
in.
Knights.
These noble knights would ride in on horseback and save those women.
And I know there's a movie coming out called Birth of a Nation, like right now.
Oh,
and
really?
It is not the same movie.
No?
Like it's a movie about slavery and it's the exact opposite. It's going
to
be like,
are
a
they
look
trying
how
to
bad.
Rewrite history.
I don't know why they gave it that name. It's like from what I, then again, I take that back. It's based on a novel, a 1915 novel by a guy named Thomas Dixon. Maybe the Thomas Dixon novel is more historically accurate.
Maybe.
And maybe D.W. Griffith's film was full of all the racial stuff. Because I know D.W. Griffith's father was in the Confederate Army, all this different stuff. So, I mean, maybe the new one is just being accurate to the novel, and maybe the novel doesn't portray blacks as rapists and monsters. I have no idea what the connection is. But that movie coming out was a huge factor. And then did you guys read about the Leo Frank
Woodrow
case?
Woodrow Wilson was Woodrow the president Wilson. Who went, and he actually commented that not only is that the film scary, but it's true. And that's what really set in the mindset of the Americans that, wow, like this is happening. And that sparked the huge growth
right.
of the Klan. So.
And Woodrow Wilson.
Propaganda, basically.
In spite of that.
I mean.
Woodrow Wilson remains one of my favorite presidents because both his first name and his last name are nicknames for a penis. And there's really not very
Woodrow
many.
Wilson.
There's not very many presidents that
he
have
said
that honor.
It is like writing history with lightning. And my only regret is that it is terribly true. Like that was those were his words. So
Dave, I found this in like 1925.
Is it a flyer?
Yeah, it's a flyer.
You're handing a flyer to Dave?
Yeah, if you want to go.
Oh, to all the clans and clansmen of Texas, it's the Cool Coast Camp.
Spell with K's, obviously.
With K's, Cool Coast Camp, the healthiest
so
road to the
so
coolest
creative.
Summer.
That's real.
We,
is
the
it
Grand
really?
Dragons of the Realm of Texas and the Great Titans of the Five Provinces of Texas. Wow, they're just really full of themselves.
Is it really
high
the cool summer,
the
like when you have to
Texas.
Wear hoods and sheets, like
in fucking Texas?
In
like
Texas?
That just like, seems like the fucking.
They're just on like folding lawn chairs with their
and you know,
hoods on still
and you know,
shit,
blankets
shirts
are,
off.
Yeah, blankets are bigger in Texas too. Like everything's bigger.
That's
so the,
true.
The,
so their hoods
thicker,
are much bigger.
The hoods
yeah.
are bigger. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe that's where the robes came from.
Maybe.
They weren't actually robes. It was just a giant Texan hood that went all the way to the ground.
could be.
I like the lawn chairs.
Like a white Christmas tree.
they just have sunscreen caked on their face with their hood lifted up.
That's funny.
But the another thing that I read about, and I didn't know anything about this case, that also started this second KKK was what they called the Leo Frank case. Did you guys see anything about this?
Yeah.
Leo Frank was the superintendent of a pencil factory. And in April 26th of 1913,
a girl named
Mary Fagan, who was 13,
stabbed a black guy with pencil.
No, went to collect a paycheck from her work because she worked at the pencil factory.
And then stabbed him with a pencil.
No. In fact, she was found dead in the basement.
Because she was stabbed with a pencil. Yeah! I knew somebody's getting stabbed with a pencil.
It's just a matter of time.
I knew it.
But the next morning, she was found murdered in the basement, and rumors started to spread through the area that she had also been raped, even though there was no evidence of it.
Sounds like some Gary Coleman, Bill Cosby shit to me.
So,
well, it's hard to find DNA of a pencil.
Especially in 1915 or 1913, which is when this happened. So Leo Frank gets arrested, even though the police have the evidence that they arrested him on is the fact that he called the factory that night to find out if everything was okay.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of the reasons they arrested him.
That makes sense.
Doesn't it? So
he was concerned about the factory.
The superintendent calls the factory to see if everything's okay. Yeah. So that's one bit of evidence that proves
the only alarm company they had.
Right. Like, and then another worker allegedly came after Fagan showed up to get her check and couldn't find Frank in his office to get her check.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a piss.
So
he was sharpening a pencil.
So rapist and murderer.
Wow.
But he was also Jewish, which is why everybody thinks that they arrested him.
Well, that makes sense because he didn't want to pay her. Like that really makes sense to me.
So
I would have convicted him.
The other thing is, but meanwhile, check this out.
Guilty. Okay?
So the police the same day arrest a guy named Jim Conley, who was the janitor, and they arrested him because he was washing blood from a terribly bloodstained shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the janitor who worked in the factory. So they arrested him, and then he gave four different sworn testimonies that Frank did it. And all four of the testimonies were a completely different story. No two of them lined up in any way. So they arrest a guy who wasn't there and called in the factory. Like, the evidence is you weren't there.
Right.
That's why we arrest you. And then they catch a guy washing blood from his shirt who says the Jew did it. So they arrest him. Like, that's basically, that's how it fucking went down. It's fucking horrible.
I
don't understand the whole thing with, why are Jews persecuted throughout history? Like, I don't understand, like, why does the Ku Klux Klan hate them?
I've never understood.
I have the hardest time saying that. I cannot say that word.
This Klan, the second iteration of the Klan, was largely only Protestant. They hated Jews. They hated Catholics. They
hated. But why? Like, I watched the thing this morning too.
Well, they added the second iteration of the Klan came in needing to hate more than just black people because it's kind of a different time, you know, and so they added Catholics, they added the Jewish,
that IKA or whatever it was, these guys just have a Jewish flag for their doormat.
Well, it was the UKA,
and they were
the
just
United Clans of America. That's what this was.
Yeah, this is IKA, and they're just like spitting on the flag, wiping their feet on it, and just like bragging about it as they walked in. I was like, what is their deal? Why did they're scum of the earth, man? They're cockroaches. What is their deal?
I'm just glad that there is a through line and that every clan, no matter who else they hate, still has the time to hate black people.
Those
Republicans, I hate them Republicans. We're going to kill all of them. What about the niggers? Kill them too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what else?
Oh,
The Jews and the Catholics, I hate them, man. Who else? The niggers. Kill them too.
It's basically
not white or Christian.
Well, it's basically, I watched two documentaries and I never heard anything about Asians. Like, were Asians not prominent yet? Because
it's because they know karate, man. They're fucking scared.
No, there wouldn't have been a ton of them in the South at that point. They wouldn't have been a threat for their jobs. They wouldn't have been,
they couldn't find them because they're ninjas.
Ooh, that's true.
One of the other in the trees. Yeah.
Yeah. So this Leo Frank gets arrested. He gets convicted
for nothing,
basically. For not being there.
Yeah.
That's the evidence.
For checking on his warehouse and not being there.
Yeah. Ultimately, it gets all the way up to the governor's office, and the governor looks at all the evidence. And he got the death sentence, but the governor commuted the death sentence down to a life sentence and said, I'm not going to pardon him because the courts are going to pardon him, because if a new court looks at this evidence, they're going to let him walk out the day after the case is done. He just stopped him from getting executed. So he said, we're not going to kill him. We're going to let the court settle it. And then as soon as they said, we're not going to kill him, Atlanta, Georgia was outraged and started to riot. They had to call in martial law. because they wanted this guy dead. So on August 16th, 1951, people from Mary Fagan's hometown of Marietta broke into the jail, stormed it, took Frank out, and lynched him from an oak tree.
God.
Like, you're not going to kill him. We are.
That's a scary thing I was saying earlier. You're in jail. You feel like at least I'm safe. Mm-mm. Like, I'm behind bars and there's authorities around me.
I mean,
and it's not a modern day federal penitentiary.
No.
Good luck storming that. It's some shitty 1915 jail in Fagan.
Barney Fife.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's
crazy too, because like, you know, blacks would get pulled over and they would get put in jail, and then the Klan members that were in jail would kill the blacks in jail.
Right.
So it was like just this full circle of like, no matter where you go, you're fucked. And right. I just couldn't get the whole time I'm watching and reading all this stuff. I'm like, why? Like Birmingham, Alabama, they called it Bombingham because it was, there was just a string of bombings and killings of people. I mean, hangings, just cold blooded murder.
Churches,
like, and I'm sure we'll get into that.
What were their bombs back then? It's just like fucking gunpowder and moonshine.
Probably they were dynamite. No, there was a guy named Dynamite. Like, that was his name, and he made like pipe bombs. They showed pictures of him. We'll get into that a little bit, but
is that a different guy than Dynamite?
Yeah, different dude. Yeah, sorry. This guy would kill Dynamite. Yeah. So, you know, like, no matter where you went, you're black or you're Jewish or you're Catholic or whatever, you're targeted.
So strange, yeah.
Why wouldn't you leave? Like, why would you not? Like, leave the area. I mean, I understand you're fighting for civil rights. Like, you're, you know what I mean? You want to be equals to everybody. You're fighting this fucking group of crazy motherfuckers.
Get out of there or have the means to get out.
I mean that or you die.
Well, so, I know it in this era, in the 1920s and the, I mean, start, you know, 1915, 1920s, et cetera. There was a huge migration of blacks, heading up north.
Yeah.
They were moving to Chicago. They were moving to New York. That's where like the Cotton Club was. That's where all this, I mean, there was a huge, like that's
Club.
Even where the blues kind of travels up to Chicago along with mass groups.
See,
of
the
blacks
black, the black
flee.
People back then weren't even mad about slavery because they called it the Cotton Club.
That's true.
Yeah, and today everybody wants to make the excuse, but anyway, that's another rant.
that's a weird point to make, but I have to agree with it. That's kind of weird. So these two things, that film and then this like huge sensationalized murder case, and then he gets lynched, and these two things together sort of fuel this KKK 2.0 into being. So by 1921, which I read, they had adopted a business model, and this is where they kind of started to get like cult-esque, Scientology-esque with the way that they operated, because it was really just a fucking business.
Well, there's a lot of veterans, like they had the means for the training, the hierarchy of structure, you know, to do it, but they just were too hot-headed, I think, and couldn't keep it together.
Well, you had the people who usually formed it, who like started 2.0, were college graduates, they were business owners, they were politicians.
And a lot of veterans they get out of, you know.
Veterans, they were very.
And they're looking for structure. They're looking to be told.
They were educated, you know, what you call educated people, and they were smart. And they just had beliefs that were different than, you know, maybe were right or whatever, you know.
Intelligent but ignorant.
The overall institution made tons of money, and they made money through initiation fees and licensing and selling of robes
and
hoods,
bucks, boy.
Which is kind of funny. Was it 10 bucks?
10 bucks to join.
That wasn't cheap. But the thing is, and
that's
this,
a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But the thing is,
20s, so
they had Klan recruiters who they called Klagels.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was the name of what you did when you
Kegels.
Squeeze your taint together to keep it strong. But they called them Klagels.
Keep that vagina tight. Some Klagels.
But the Klagels would go out and like their job. And again, this is where I start to think of Scientology, or I start to think of groups that are just playing on your weaknesses as a human being, because they would go to people and they would recruit them and they would talk to them and they would find out, oh, this guy I'm talking to or this this basement full of people who had me come by, these guys really hate the Jews. So I'm going to promise them that the KKK hates Jews more than anything else.
And that's then you run into another. Ask, like, why do they hate the Jews?
Right.
This is this
right.
Is
but you
it.
Get to somebody else though. If they ran into somebody else they hated Catholics, then they tell them, look, the Catholics, that's exactly what we hate. Or if you hated Mexicans or blacks or whatever, that's, they told you this is exactly what we're about.
That's like, sales 101.
Exactly.
Door to door sales. Like,
I'm here to help you.
Yeah. So this, and they, it was largely, which I didn't know, they were all about prohibition. They supported prohibition.
Yeah, they were very strong.
They were very moralistic and ironically, they claimed they were Christian, but they worked with other like legitimate above board prohibition groups to get prohibition going. They didn't drink, et cetera. By the 1920s, and Brennan hinted at this earlier, they were fucking huge.
Six million and 15% of the population.
At the time, they had about 3 million people, and they put together a 40,000-man march in Washington, D.C. And to watch the footage of that, very powerful. Like, you could sense the fear that people would have at that time, because this is, you know, they're. I mean, if you were there, you'd just be like, holy shit.
Right.
Entire the Pennsylvania Avenue is just filled with Klansmen.
The concentration of kissing cousins, though, it was fucking crazy.
Not in Washington, D.C., though.
No, amongst the Klansmen.
Oh, amongst
lots
the Klansmen,
of kissing cousins.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Don't be pillow talking over there.
But yeah, at their highest, apparently 15% of the population of America was in the Klan.
It's crazy,
from everything that I read, I was like, that. I didn't believe those numbers. There's no fucking way.
What percentage of the population was like Jewish, black, or of some other?
That's what I was curious.
So then that
about.
Makes it like, 50% of the white people in the Klan. Like,
but again, it's because those numbers are because of the Klagels. And there was a high turnaround. At their height, they had all these people. But within a couple of years, they all showed up and they were like, you know what? I thought everybody down here was to hate Jews.
Why are we all hating black people?
You know, Stan and Ralph are the only guys that hate Jews. Like, all these guys hate black people and Catholics. Yeah. Like, my sister-in-law is Catholic. Like, you know, I mean, there was a huge group of people who dropped out within a couple of years because they were sold a bill of this fraternity, of this thing that they were joining.
Which at that point, kind of didn't matter. They got their money.
What was the root term of Klagels? Like, Klan, I see. There's the Kla. Like, where was the
Klagels? They tried to come up with weird
They came
terms.
Up with all kinds of weird terms that started with
Klagels. Like, they had, like, the Grand Cyclops, and, like, they had, like, the
Here's some of the terms. They had a Klaby, which is the treasurer. A clavern, which is a local organization, right? It's a pun on a tavern, I suppose. The Klagel, which is the recruiter. The Klektikin, which is the initiation fee. The Kligrap, which is the secretary. A Klonvocation, which is a gathering. So bad. It's like, it's so fucking
bad.
They're
just forcing. Yeah, they're trying so hard.
Exactly. Hey, man, tell you what. Instead of a convocation, we need to call it a Klonvocation.
Like,
yeah.
So
you want a beer? No, I'd like a clear.
Yeah.
Like, it's like fucking McDonald's.
Well,
you want a rib sandwich? No, I want a McRib.
I'd like
a McCoke.
The blending of words. Yeah. How about the Quran?
Yeah. The Quran is their ritual book.
Yeah,
and I'm like, don't you hate Muslims? Why did you pick the Quran?
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't it the Klybel?
Why wasn't it the Klybel?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're going to read from the Clue Testament. You
know, like, the Clue Testament. Psalms 13:21.
But yeah, that was their, and their chaplain was called the Imperial Clud.
Clud?
Two D's. Yeah.
So Klagels really has no meaning. It just is what they defined it as, is a recruiter.
Yeah, it's their recruiter. And they did call them the Imperial Klagel. But so they end up doing this recruiting. I had read one statistic that said in this time, in Detroit alone, which is a northern state, so wasn't even that big, Detroit alone had 40,000 registered members of the Klan at their height in the 1920s.
There were members in Canada. Like, it's crazy.
Yep.
There were black members, which I don't
exactly
understand.
And there were members in Canada who hated people who were coming from France or from whatever their problem was. Like, they hated a totally different group of people.
Damn Frenchies. They even had a southern accent in Canada. They're like, damn Frenchies coming over here and taking over and raping our women.
But the Klagels knew, like, these people hate those people. Give me $10. We'll get you into a group that hates them too.
You got to make money.
Yep. But then by the 1930s, the population, so many people realized they were just sold a bill of goods that was bullshit. By the 1930s, it went from 6 million people to 30,000.
So what attributed to that too is the head guy, one of the head Klansmen who actually formed this union in the 20s or when 1950, when it started, he actually raped and, gnawed on a woman. Like he chewed on her. Yeah, he chewed her up. Like they said she looked like a dog fucking just attacked her. But he chewed her up.
She did an episode with his own teeth. On that guy.
Like, no shit.
And just beat her and raped her.
I'm glad he used his own teeth, bro.
Yeah. And put her in the trunk of the car, but sent her home. Because he didn't think that he was going to get in trouble. Like because he was sure. The law.
Was she white or was she black?
She was white.
Okay.
And so she went home and a few days later she died in her bed. But before she died, she wrote a testimony of what happened and he was actually sentenced to life in prison. And at that time, like even the Klans people were like, holy shit, like this goes against like everything that we're right, you know what I mean? Like we're already hypocrites, right? Like, fucking, that's even more hypocritish, you know? So yeah. So he literally gnawed and chewed on this lady and fucking shit. Beat her and raped her and she died. And that was kind of at this exact time, where people figured out like, fuck, we were sold this bullshit, you know?
So what else did that fucker do that he didn't get busted?
That's
on?
What I was.
That I don't know. That was on one of the documentaries. They talked about him and man, I even forget his name. I should have wrote his name down. I was so tired.
Well, there's Google for people who are interested. And then World War II came along and that really kind of swept it under the rug because the nation had other shit to worry about. And it took a while for like Klan 3.0 to show back up and it
William Joseph Simmons is his name.
William Joseph Simmons. Holy Jesus. But I didn't read much at all about the Klan in the 40s or 50s.
I just saw a lot of things like there was videos of them having barbecues and shit.
So
and it's like if you didn't know any better, it's like they're having a good time at the park and they're like, wait a minute, it's like I have a hood on. Like it's a very weird thing. I see where they have their camaraderie and like social gathering thing that they probably got out of it. Once again, if they had Netflix and cheeseburgers, man, they'd be all right.
let me find this. Okay. So there was one, I mean, there's a lot of very interesting things. There was, okay. So the massacre of the communist, which I thought this was funny, the massacre of the Communist Workers' Party protesters. Did you see anything about that?
Yes, I did see that.
So there were people protesting the Ku Klux Klan.
And this was in 79. So
this was in 79.
This is when the third one is.
Yeah, this is the third one.
This is like during civil rights, post-civil rights, the Klan. Because basically the 40s and the 50s, I think there was a lot more racial harmony because everybody was too busy hating Nazis and Japanese people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of servicemen came back having served with blacks, having served with
so
other.
The Klan, and the Klan dies out.
Right, and the Klan dies out because there's this idea that, look, we were all on the same side. Yeah. We fought together. And even, you know, even a fervent racist still would have respect for some black guy that served and
might have saved his life. Them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So that kind of died down. But then during the civil rights movement, it really starts to surge again. I mean, and there's just endless lynchings, endless murders, endless intimidation.
And there's a couple. Yeah, there's a couple that I want to talk about.
Yeah. But the Klan rally, that was in 79 in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes. And so these people were there protesting and just, I mean, going at the Klan. The Klan rolls up. And they turns to fisticuffs.
Right.
I mean, they just start brawling out and then guns get pulled. The Klan starts shooting everybody.
Yep.
Fisticuffs?
Yeah, fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah. I don't know that term.
So, it was led by the National You never heard fisticuffs?
Mm-mm.
I learn something new every day.
That's right. But it was led by the Communist Workers' Party, and it was an anti-Klan. It was called the Death to the Klan Rally.
Yeah.
It's the name of the
Klan. And I thought it was
Klan.
Funny that the Communist Workers' Party were the one, going against the Klan.
Right.
Like, that's funny.
But, so five people were killed during this, and the Klan just showed up and shot everything up, right?
Yeah.
The And we're skipping, I mean, we're skipping over all the civil rights instances. There's tons, endless evidence in the 1960s.
Civil rights is
that's the stuff everybody hears about. That's the stuff that's the most obvious. And we could do a whole show
just
on
cross burnings on lawns. They're trying to scare people. They would round up. There was an instance where three black military guys were driving on a lonely road, and the Klan stopped them and murdered them. Just drove them into a field and executed them.
Endlessly.
That was a constant thing.
Lynched, lit on fire in trees. I mean, just thousands and thousands of people were killed by the Klan we're acting like nothing happened in the 50s. That's a lie. I mean, the Klan was still there, but it wasn't the numbers that it had before, nowhere near it. And it wasn't the numbers that come up during civil rights. But in the late 50s and 60s, when civil rights are happening, this is when this third Klan really kind of surges. They did other cases you guys ran into from this era.
Yeah, I mean, in 63, the one I was talking about in Bombingham, there was four young girls bombed in a church.
Yeah.
And that was done by dynamite Robert Chambliss.
And there's I forget the name of the poet off the top of my head, but there's a famous poem called The Bombing of Birmingham, and
there was countless bombings. I mean, there were hundreds of bombings. They were happening all over black people's homes, churches, stores, just cars, everything you could think of was being bombed. And they were killing people. But this notable one was the four young black children. It was three 14-year-olds and a 13-year-old or an 11-year-old. I'm sorry. And they were in the church on a Sunday morning. A bomb went off, killed them.
Right.
Now, this guy, Dynamite, Robert Chambliss, was linked to the murders, was linked to the bombings, and was linked to a shit ton of other bombings. But all he got busted for was the possession of dynamite.
That's crazy. And that's how all that shit went.
Yeah.
Every time you read about these guys getting arrested, they serve time for the most minor of offenses.
And even that was overturned later on in an appeal. So he got off scot-free. Later on, he was busted and imprisoned. But this is after everything starts crumbling and falling apart.
I wonder what the story is for a private citizen. It was like, I just had dynamite. You know, like, what were you going to do?
Oh, fishing. Well, no. The pictures they showed of the dynamite, they were bombs. Like, they had pictures of the bombs.
They had already made bombs.
They're all taped.
They were bombs, and all he got in trouble for was for having dynamite.
Having a dynamite.
Yeah, he wasn't doing the bombs. He just had bombs.
Right.
You know, so
grenades go off in a church. You got a crate full of grenades.
The other notable one that
real quick, the poem was called "The Ballad of Birmingham" by Dudley Randall. Nice. Check it out on Google.
That's a
pretty moving.
The other notable one, and I broke out in a fit of laughter after watching this. There was a young man named Michael Donnelly, or Donald, I'm sorry, and they hung him. They beat him and hung him.
Brad laughed after this.
Well, no, I wasn't laughing after this. No.
You're waiting for the
funny
line.
Part? Yeah. So, they punched him. Yeah, they did do that. No, but what was funny was...
And this was in 81.
This was in 87? No, he was tried in 87. Okay, so they basically they killed this young black man. They hung him, left him in a tree in a neighborhood after he was dead, and they slit his throat. Basically,
still
to make
for
a make a statement.
The laughing part.
No, it's coming up. It's coming up.
I think I might know what he's laughing.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to know. So there was a man named Morris Dees, which I was laughing at that because I was like, Dees nuts got him. Right. So he was actually a politician or an attorney. He was in support for an attorney. I'm all jacked up now. Morris Dees was an attorney, and he basically went and told Michael Donald's mom to file a civil lawsuit against the Klan.
Right.
So this civil lawsuit, even after they were convicted and the guy that was tried said he did it, he cried in court, he apologized, you know, and asked the mom to, you know, forgive him. He said a powerful moment in court was when the mom, she sat back in her chair and said, I've already forgiven you. And like, it was like this crazy, he said that there was no, you know, dry eye in the courtroom,
but and her name was Beulah May.
Like, Beulah May
couldn't be a more Southern black woman name than Beulah May.
So he tells her to file a civil lawsuit against the Klan and gets what, $7 million?
Yes.
And basically gets the deed to the main office of the United Klans of America and all of the land.
Right.
So she owns the Ku Klux Klan's land and building.
Their they didn't have $7 million, so the judge ordered them to turn over everything the headquarters to Beulah May.
Pissed.
Yeah, I was dying laughing because what kind of bullshit? Like, just you would be, if you were in the Klan, you would be probably so the maddest motherfucker
so
ever.
So hot, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but
you might want to sweep the area before you take occupancy of that building.
Yeah, make
well,
sure.
Well, I mean, I'm
you
sure.
You can have it,
make
main,
sure. I'm sure you just sell it.
Yeah, like, make sure Kid Dynamite didn't leave any extra things. And again, this talks about, here's one, like there was a 1980, and again, I'm kind of skipping over the stuff in the 60s on purpose because everybody knows that shit was horrible, but I just want to point out, like, this shit is still happening.
Yeah.
It's still, you know, still
well,
happening
this is,
years,
to
years
note,
after.
This is one of the longest standing organizations that has ever been around. They've been around for 140 years.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest.
And they're still
American.
Around today.
Yep.
They might even only having 5,000 members, they've had 5,000 members before and came back to millions.
Yeah, came back strong.
So,
you know,
this is why it's important to know your history and understand, you know, where this stuff comes from and what happens and what provokes it. So
in 1980, after an initiation meeting where a bunch of new Klansmen had just been initiated, this is in Chattanooga, they drove by and shot up a place, and four elderly black women, Viola Ellison, Lila Evans, Opal Jackson, and Katherine Johnson, were shot and killed by Klansmen. The three people got arrested. All the evidence was there. The cops knew these three people drove by and shot up the place, killed four, injured a fifth, Fannie Crumsey from Flying Class. Great names.
Fannie Crumsey?
Fannie Crumsey.
Don't forget about Opal.
Yep, Opal Jackson. So they get arrested. Two of them get acquitted by an all-white jury. Yeah. One of them is found guilty of the murders. Yeah. And do you know what the sentence was?
1 year.
9 months.
Yeah.
Do you know how long he served? 3.
Yikes.
Shot and killed four fucking human beings.
Yeah.
Get sentenced to 9 months for murder. Yep. You're convicted. Murder. Nine months. 9 months. 3 with good behavior.
Yeah.
Like, he did not.
That's not even a fucking month per dead person.
Yeah.
Like, disgusting. So, like, even
that's pretty bad.
Even in this era, even in these locations, like, even if someone did get convicted, it's like you're not getting convicted for the murder of four people with that bomb you set off in a church and killed four little girls. You're getting convicted for owning dynamite. Like, they would convict him on this fucking super weak charge where they're
that,
not
like,
doing any real time.
In like today's day and age, because there's no public outcry back then for something that was so unjust. Like, do you think with, you know, media, news, and social media, if that's happened today, they would just freak out. There'd be riots on the street. But back then, do you think it was the lack of reach for the media?
I think that stuff happens everywhere already.
I think it happens everywhere.
People get off. Not necessarily, I'm not saying just like racial killings. I'm saying there's people that rape somebody and then get off.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and that just happened with the college student, you know, like.
I think a lot of it is a lack of media attention. I mean, no one probably knew these things were happening. Like, or maybe, no, I take that back.
That's what I'm saying. Or was it the mindset mentality of society?
It might have just been the mindset. I can't imagine that these four women being killed didn't make national news in 1980. Yeah.
Right. And what kind of defense attorney or state attorney would just let an all white panel just have its way? You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, the other side of it is you have some black people on there and you get a hung jury and there's nothing.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
or maybe 1980, man, the media was, maybe there's just repressed media. Like, maybe they held it back or something.
Well, and you got to think too, that the South is way different than anywhere else.
How old is that guy? Is that guy still around? 1980?
He's part of the Klan.
He's still crazy fucker somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the fucking Imperial Wizard
I'm gonna find him on Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a Klagel. As we
no, he's not recruiting anymore.
He's
the Imperial Wizard.
He's doing Kegels.
Yeah. Just keeping it tight.
So at what point do they define the fourth Klan as, is that sort of like the modern day?
Well, that's the modern day. Kind of started in the late 90s. A real small group of militia style training camps and places all over. So, and this is the kind of the
very
bad,
military, though.
Yeah, very military, very, there is no robes anymore. There are no, you know, just crazy stuff, but they still hate the same.
You know, when I was little, man, we lived in Oildale, and when people around the world don't know what that Klansmen's is, but there. there was a march past my school when I was little. Yeah. You know, so
yeah, there was always a house in Oildale that had skulls on the pillars, and they had military vehicles, and that was the Klan house.
Yeah.
Like that house is the
like we live in a scary. Yeah. There's probably some deep history where we live.
Yeah,
like it's rumored that there was a sign on the bridge to Oildale that said, "Don't let the sun set on your ass inward."
Right,
like on the bridge. I never saw
What's
that,
the
but
inward
like
night
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
River Niger. Niger. River Niger, man.
Don't let the sun set on your ass, River Niger.
Like, I just say Snickers because it's easy. It said, don't let the sun set on your ass, Snickers.
A friend of mine who lived in Oildale, and I used to, we would nerd out. I'd go to his house. We'd play Dungeons and Dragons. And he's fucking tall guy. He's taller than me by an inch. Derek Mears. He's the guy that plays Jason Voorhees, stuntman, right. Actor, et cetera.
Yep.
I used to go over to his house and he lived like maybe three blocks away from a little, you know, corner, you know, gas station. And we'd walk up there to buy snacks to play D&D. And I keep in mind, I had like ass long dreadlocks at the time. And I'd be walking with
this
Derek.
This is an Oildale?
This is an Oildale.
You're talking about the little green store?
I have no idea. No, it was just a gas station.
You know what street he lived on?
I have no idea.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I do not know. I couldn't tell you any geography.
Why do you know so many famous people, too? Also. But now you know me and Brad.
Circumstance. Yeah. But Derek has alopecia, so he doesn't have any hair. He's completely bald. Yeah. He doesn't even have eyebrows. Like, he, you know, now that he's older, he's starting to grow, like, you know, he's got like a beard and a mustache and stuff, but he still has a bald head, et cetera. But at the time, he was like fucking bald as a cue ball.
Right.
And I would be walking to the store with him. On a weekly basis, I would be walking to the store with him and someone would drive by and see his bald head and scream, white power, out the window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weekly fucking basis. Yeah. And every time I heard it, I was like, oh my God. Like, holy Jesus.
Well,
like,
you were just the Nazi. Right. You're just the Nazi lowrider.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know, like, I don't know what they thought the white power guy was doing with the guy with fucking ass long dreads.
Well, you were his slave. Yeah. Of course.
I am pretty light skinned, so they might have just
thought. Did you ever think it wasn't his haircut and they were yelling white power at the black guy? When he walked around.
To try and intimidate you?
Yeah.
And no, nothing to do with him?
He said that almost every day when he would walk to the store, someone would yell white power at him because they thought that's why they thought he was a bald headed Aryan skinhead. Yeah. Like that's, and they would scream that's it at funny. Him. They might have just thought I was like some dirty pothead Haitian with dreads and said they were like red dreadlocks and I'm light skinned. I don't know. But I would, and I was like, ooh, I don't really want to be in Oildale.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, it's not the place to be now.
No.
It's changed.
I grew up in Oildale. My high school, we had three black kids at school. That was it. In the whole class, three black kids.
Wow.
My
junior high, I don't think there wasn't one.
Right.
Yeah. And my ex didn't know a black person. They only had one black person in their school until high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, really? Like, you don't know any black people? I'm like, I grew up with all blacks and Mexicans, you know, like.
Well, that's the neighborhood.
White people were weird to me.
If you live in that neighborhood, there's no black families want to live. And now it's a little bit different. There are black families that live there. I mean, Oildale is a little bit more diversified now. But back in the 70s, 80s, even in the 90s, like, I remember because there at the time there weren't even any like military supply stores in town, and I looked it up and there were two of them that were in Oildale.
Yeah. War bunker.
And one of them was on one of the main streets, and I felt pretty safe going. And it was actually owned by a Mexican cat. It was a cool place.
Right.
They had like a lot of World War II surplus stuff. But then there was one that was like off the trail, and it was just
that's the war bunker, dude. Yeah. They had a secret fucking room. They sold, like, when you went in there, I was uncomfortable, and I'm white as fucking, had a shaved head and shit in high school. But we would go in there because we'd see like, ooh, they have grenades. There was like a tank out front. Yep. It was in a residential area, basically like a house.
It was a house.
Oh yeah.
But those fools had like Nazi flags, rebel flags.
Oh yeah.
And there was a room. They actually got busted for selling illegal arms. And I have a friend that lives on that street, and there was a grenade in someone's yard, like
chilling.
They had to like bring the bomb squad out and blow it up.
Yeah, because I drove by there once. My friend was like, no, let's go check it out. It says it in there, the war bunker, like whatever. We looked it up in the phone book. We fucking went driving by. My friend was like, oh, let's find a place to park. I was like, let's keep fucking driving.
Yeah.
Faster than you are right now.
Do you not see the Nazi flags?
Exactly.
Do you not see
the Confederate Nazi flags hanging next to a fucking tank in the front yard
of
this guy's house?
And did you notice I'm half black, motherfucker?
Yeah, let's just fucking beat feet.
Yeah.
And we did. Yeah. And I never set foot in the war bunker.
Maybe that's the house I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I had all the crazy shit.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. But it was listed as a military supply store, like formally in the.
Yep.
They got busted for
black race eradicators.
Fuck.
That's what we do. They're like pest control for black people.
Yeah. That's just scared. You don't even want to be in the neighborhood. Yeah. Like, but yeah, if that's what's in the neighborhood, obviously black people don't want to live there. Yeah, and no, that Klan mentality is good. I remember when I moved to Bakersfield, there's a famous bar in the middle of Oildale. And when I moved to Bakersfield,
Shrouts,
I remember my dad, when I told him, like, well, I got abducted to Bakersfield, but I was here. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm not going back to Michigan. I'm going to stay here in Bakersfield. And he was like, oh, that's great. That's really good news. He said, let me give you one piece of advice about Bakersfield. And I said, what's that? He said, never under any circumstances go to a bar called Trout's.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
That was his only bit of advice.
How is he world famous? Like, how did he know that?
Because he lived in Bakersfield.
Oh, he lived in Bakersfield.
He lived here for a while. Yeah.
I had a buddy in junior high that moved from Oildale to where I was in the Southwest. And
Were you over by Cottonwood or something? Or?
No. I lived in the Southwest at this time. Like, okay. I was living with my grandma. And I lived off of P Street. So
that's just
anyway.
Yeah, that's ghetto.
I grew up in the real ghetto. But anyway, he came from Oildale and he hated black people. Like, hated black people. And that he didn't have any black friends.
Right.
Well, soon later, like, there's a lot of black people where I lived at. Mm-hmm. And he started becoming, he's like, man, these guys aren't so bad.
Right.
You know, it was just a product of the environment.
It's ignorance and isolation. Yeah. I mean, and it's the same on both sides.
This is a kid who's, 13 years old, you know, just white power and, lightning bolts and, just all this stuff. And that's what they're raised.
Yeah, it's isolation and ignorance on racism on any side. Now, I'll hear people say, they'll talk about, anti-racism whatever for like, if blacks are racist, I'm like, that's not called anti-racism. That's called racism.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
I thought about this last night. I was watching some stuff, and I thought it was funny because there's a lot of white people who are brought up to hate black people, and I'm sure it still happens to this day. You're brought up to hate certain things, but it's the same way in ghettos where you're taught to not trust the cops.
Sure, absolutely,
and authority,
absolutely,
and so it's not necessarily even a race thing. It's a position thing, and you're in opposition to these certain things, and you're brought up to that,
right?
And that's very powerful when you're a young kid. Because they were talking about, how the Klansmen were bringing in kids and it's about the kids and they're indoctrinating these kids with racism, basically, and hatred. It's the same thing the Muslims do. Not all Muslims, but it's the same thing that a lot of the terrorist Muslims do overseas where they hate Americans.
Right.
And a lot of black people do, like I said, with police and everything else. It's just a crazy cycle.
In my house, it was Miracle Whip. I mean, I'm kind of sad. I never had a chance. Like, it might have been really good.
Miracle Whip's horrible.
Yeah. I don't know, though, because my parents didn't give me the chance.
They just my grandpa used to make bologna and cheese
sandwiches.
I
wasn't allowed in our house. I wasn't allowed to hang out with other kids.
Well, you can buy some now. Actually, you'd probably like it. You're a fucking weirdo.
Fuck that. Miracle Whip's disgusting. Maybe it's because I'm programmed. Did you really?
I used to love Miracle Whip. We were a Miracle Whip household growing up.
You know what's weird? When I used to go to the babysitter, they would make peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. I shit you not. I remember it. I remember eating it, and that's a thing, like peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. And I told my mom, she's like, what? Like, they made what? I was like, they made peanut butter mayonnaise sandwiches. She's like, that is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
So I've never had it since, but that was the thing.
Is that a white thing?
Maybe. That mayonnaise? Sounds white as fuck. Yeah.
That's a horrible thing.
I never had that. I fucking grew up on red Kool-Aid and fucking whatever Wick bought.
God, I remember making Kool-Aid, just all that sugar and just stirring that shit until the sugar, you pick more sugar.
I read a story about a group like this summer. They're in San Francisco. People were putting flyers on windshields, like Klan recruitment flyers.
Oh God!
And I read, and somebody took a picture of one of them and posted it, and you can see what the flyer was. And I was fucking cracking up at it in huge. Bold printing at the top, it says Black Lives Matter, Black Panthers. And then it says in the next line, are telling followers to kill white people and police officers in the name of justice for the killing of Negroes by policemen in the line of duty. These Negroes were not innocent. They were thugs breaking the law and standing up against the police.
I like how they use Negroes.
They went old school.
They do. And then under it, it says join the Ku Klux Klan. And there's a list. There's like a bulleted list of reasons.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let me.
What are the reasons?
Let me see what these
reasons
are.
See if you can entice me, Dave.
So
the Ku Klux. Host camp every
the
summer.
The only organization standing up for whites.
That's True.
Perhaps.
That's. I agree. I agree. So we'll go through. I agree. Go.
Through unifying, we can keep our lives safe.
You get a 10% discount anywhere, thing cool?
Like not, Pizza Hut?
On
like,
your uniforms?
Your identity is safe. Records are not on any media.
Yeah, okay.
We uphold the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah.
We are Christian-based and uphold the Bible.
I'm out.
That's why you're out. Not killing black people. The Bible is where
they didn't say out. Anything about killing black people yet. They just said about protecting the race.
We are the invisible empire, have been for 150 years.
Wow.
We are in every state. You will not be alone anywhere. Please join before it's too late. Hotline 24/7. And then it lists a phone number. And then it says the name of the group. I won't repeat it because I don't want to get them any clicks or airtime because they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. It's www.racistasfuck.com.
At the bottom, there's an asterisk that says
P.S.
donations accepted on website.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a picture of a fucking Klansman pointing, a hand-drawn shitty picture.
Yeah.
And it says the KKK wants you!
Oh, fuck. Fucking at the
bottom. It's a horrible flyer. Yeah, like it was done straight up in like open office. Right. Like yeah. I was going to say Microsoft Word, but I doubt it was even Microsoft
Not some young
Word.
Hip kid. Did
no, it
that.
Wasn't like, even it was like, old, like, it wasn't even like someone put it together on Photoshop. Like, it was like fucking straight up Microsoft Word.
Somebody built a website. They couldn't build a flyer.
Well, you didn't see the website. I went to the website.
It's like the Heaven's Gate website.
It was the top half was GeoCities, straight up fucking just Heaven's horrible. Gate, yeah. And you scroll to the middle and in the middle, there's like suddenly like looks kind of like a fancier modern day website kind of in the middle. And then it kind of goes back to GeoCities on the bottom. But in the middle, there's this huge picture of this like beautiful white baby laying on white cloth, like with blue eyes, like this perfect, beautiful white baby.
Yeah.
And next to it, there are three little bubbles. And one of them says, we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. One of them says, we say no in caps.
Yeah.
To race mixing, exclamation point.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then the other one says, we say no to homosexuality.
Yeah.
Fucking and then gays. A little bit further down, it says, remember when white boys were proud to be white? Some still are, exclamation point.
I think everybody's, I think everybody's proud to be what they are.
Like,
unless you're just like a introvert, like scared of everything. Like, I'm proud to be who I am. And you then know,
right, exactly.
It doesn't matter that I'm white or black or yellow or fucking whatever. Like,
right. One graphic on the website, and I guess I just don't have clan logic in my brain.
What do you mean? Your grandfather was a Nazi?
He was.
Motherfucker.
He was. But I don't think he would have joined the Klan. He would have thought they were tacky. He would have. I promise you.
Yeah, because well, Nazis were dapper. Yeah, The Klan was below
his station. He was a Nazi.
Nazis were dapper as fuck.
You should make Nazi uniforms with SK instead of. Ooh.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. Yeah, they had a fucking straight up.
That might put across the wrong idea.
Yeah,
though,
We'll just change the color up.
Hey there, black fan. How you doing? What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here.
But at the bottom, it said there's a little like meme kind of graphic of like a black guy. And next to it, there's text and it says the KKK killed 3,446 blacks in 86 years.
They killed more than that.
Sure. But that's what they say. And then it says black on black murders surpass that every 6 months. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Only thing that sinks in is you're admitting that your group committed 3,500 murders.
Well, they're proud of it though.
But they're trying to make it look like that stat is shocking. The
blacks,
other one
yeah.
is. I'm like, I'm still just hung up on how many people you killed.
We should build them a website.
One of the grand wizards said on camera, he said that, you know, that the KKK has a history of raping, murdering, you know, all this shit. And he's like, and I'm fine with that. Like that just full on, just straight up. Like that's what they, you know, believe in.
And owns it.
And there were videos on the website that I couldn't bring myself to watch.
You know what though? Like, I don't know. Like being a white person, like I'm fully white, like I probably have other stuff in me, you know, over the years, you know, but being a white boy, like I just don't fear that one day the whites will be gone. We're never going to, nobody's ever going to be gone. Right. There's always going to be black people. There's always going to be Mexican people. There's right. always going to be Latinos and Italians and Haitians and every different
right.
little piece right. of everything that's there.
I'm pretty sure.
We're always going to have beady-eyed Canadians. They're no. never going to change.
Once you mix them up on the long enough timeline, we're alien grays at time travel.
No, that's so, true. Think, on a long enough timeline, the population like, normalizes.
We're gonna yeah, be but I mean, hot tan. At that point, like now, I think if you did like a DNA test, you're going to be mixed with everything. Like right. there's nobody now that is pure white.
Right.
And if you're pure white, that's fucking amazing. Like, I just don't. I don't see how that's possible.
I mean, you would. I mean, I'm sure it's possible
in Norway.
If you, yeah, I mean, if your grandfather,
no, people have traveled.
Like, if your grandfather was from Ireland and your grandmother was from Norway, and that's the, you know, I mean, it's yeah. possible, but it's going to be amazingly
It's possible
rare.
that your grandpa was, but nowadays everybody has moved and migrated and, right. and travel is easier.
Chances are not, Genghis Khan got up yeah. in grandma.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you're doing this whole, like, you know, the supreme white race, you know, and everybody's clean. Like, has everybody taken a DNA test? Has right. everybody done their background check? Because if you haven't, then I don't, whatever you're saying is bullshit.
Not Until to mention, you prove when you introduce other genetic lineage, pools into your own, you end up with stronger offspring.
Yeah.
Like, let's ignore
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
let's ignore
yeah.
that genetic
yeah.
fact.
Well, yeah. Like, it's not know. Even that. I'm just saying, though, you're promoting this pure white race. Like, are you pure white?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, none of them are.
No, no.
No matter how much they think nope. they are, nobody nope. is. Because nope. 1,000 years ago, you were already different.
Right.
You were already came from different places.
Right.
So it's just... It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is weird. I've always.
And have you not seen Mexican women or, you know what I mean? Like women of color, like why? Like, why would you not want that?
Right.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I mean, you know anything. I mean? Have you never eaten delicious Mexican food?
Yeah. Like, Brent loves Taco Bell.
Like, I mean,
do you not like El Yucateco hot sauce?
I mean, I just look at the clan, all this.
You can know, we get the clan to promote El Yucateco?
Yeah, it's like,
that
don't
would be the barrier breaker.
I don't get it. No, I've never understood it. I've never understood the need for the secrecy. If you're going to do that shit, be proud of it. It's like, I've heard people try to make comparisons between.
They really weren't. Once they get big enough, they're not secret.
Like, yeah, that's true.
The thing. Like
that's
when
true.
They're small, they're secret because they don't have the power and the numbers.
Right.
When they get huge, that's when they're out and about and they're running around like fucking, you know, Halloween time.
Yeah.
But you know, what are you looking at over there?
I'm trying to remember shout outs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, go for it.
So we pretty much done.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say. Okay, so pretty interesting. Do your homework.
Just the
videos.
I mean, the final uptake, like I said, I see the way that like current politics are feeding on fear and on hatred and on xenophobia and
they're doing it not only necessarily like blacks versus white, but to the Muslims.
To the Muslims,
I mean,
to Mexicans.
You see this in this bigger light.
And I look at what, like when I saw that thing about the original Klan going for Republicans and that it was an anti-political movement, I see the way politics are so divided and so hostile towards each other. And I go, fuck, that's not far from the mark.
Yeah.
And I see the fucking police shootings on the Black Lives Matter shit. And I see fucking, you know, snipers shooting white cops. And I see all this shit. And I'm like, fuck, like, I'm just
getting
like,
there.
Like you're getting there. It's like, add a couple more years of this shit to it.
Because even
and
if,
who
even
knows
if,
where it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah. And even if you don't dislike black people, if they're out there fucking killing a bunch of white people for
no
reason,
gonna get to you.
You're going to band together with
and,
other white,
you know,
people.
Vice versa. Even if you don't hate cops and you keep seeing all this video footage of cops shooting people, you're going to start to fucking hate cops.
It's
fucking scary.
Think of it in prison terms. When you go to prison, even if you're not white power, even if you're not Aryan Brotherhood, who do you hang out with?
The fucking white power.
The white people.
Aryan
because
Brotherhood.
My ass ain't going to hang out with the black people because I'm getting stabbed to death. You know, like even though I like Tyrone, like we can't hang out together. You know, like that's just how it is. We might be able to do business, you know, selling drugs and whatnot if the politics allow it. But can't hang out.
Right.
So regardless, I might be coming out with the swastika tattoo, even though I didn't want it. You know what I mean? Like that shit happens.
So how long till Trump grows a little Hitler mustache?
That would be better. Like, I think if he did
I think it would. Yeah.
Just coming out with the fucking Nazi suit and just like.
At least he'd have good tailoring that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. His hair would be tamed.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But no, I just, I don't know. I see, as I was researching this, all three of the, or four of the different upshoots of the Klan are like, you know, each of them made me look at shit going on today and think, oh, fuck, like this could very easily resurge. And so far, I even read one stat that in the last year, we've gone from 72 official Klan chapters in the United States to 90.
Damn.
Because just in a year, it's just jumping, since 2015, because the hate, the rhetoric, all that shit is out there so strong. Membership is rising. It's getting worse. Like, just, I mean, my ultimate takeaway from this, I mean, not just fucking know your history, just fucking don't hate. Like, what's, like, just fucking don't hate people. Like, how's that?
Just love your neighbor.
Just fucking, you know, don't hate people. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people claim to be Christian and they kind of ignore the love thy neighbor, turn the other cheek shit and want to fucking shoot people and hate people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck the Klan.
Oh, Dave.
You have shout outs?
Oh, someone posted during the show, and I'm just trying not to forget, but SamaLama143, Sammy Hodge, is wearing a Sophie King podcast shirt, and she posted a picture. Nice. I just like her little, like, you know, on Instagram, you have like a quote below your name. Mine's like, bring her a foil hats or something. Uh-huh. Hers is, blow it out your ass. It's fucking awesome. That's our fan for sure. So thank you, Sammy, for supporting our shirt. Thank you to Digital Creations for our swag. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can buy stuff on their gear store. Lots of people still hitting us up about where to find it, and I keep telling them, like, Walmart and Target should have it. Some people still saying no.
Chris Willis actually sent us a message saying his Walmart doesn't have it.
Yeah, that's San
Diego. Go to another Walmart, Chris.
I don't know. Yeah, that's San Diego. I would definitely think have it. Or Target.
Target?
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, I have to drink my ritual whiskey on the next episode, but I am so tired right now.
If you live in San Diego, you can find a fucking Vallarta Mexican market kind of a place and get Yucateco. Give me a break.
Right on the border of Mexico. Yeah,
Chris,
like, you live in fucking Idaho. You can go to a fucking...
Chris, put down the whiskey. Sober up a little bit. Moonshine. Sober up a little bit and fucking drive around.
So, but you can buy their stuff on their gear store thing. So just Google it, and then you get 10% off if you use code SOFAKING. So, also thank you to Salt 7. I floated last week. El Yucateco got the float last week. Good stuff. Thank you to Dark Side Graphics. A couple people are waiting on shirts. Armando Chavez, here's your shout out. I don't have any large. I'm waiting on it, but I got every size but large. So if you haven't received your shirt because you ordered it, it's because I'm out of that size and I'm waiting on replenishment.
In the meantime, we're asking Kevin to do shirts. We're also having him rush vinyl down to our studio and
thank
stuff.
Thank you for putting stickers on our doors and stuff at 8:30 at night. And who did I forget right
you
now?
You bitch. Anyway.
Printercheap.com. I ate the rest of that jerky because I ate Dave's
You ate
portion.
It all?
Dude, there wasn't that much left. And I was
only had one tiny ass piece.
Technically, I had one tiny ass piece too. That got shared. There wasn't very much, but he made jerky with El Yucateco hot sauce, and it was
the
delicious.
Caribbean. With Mexican cow.
Printdirtcheap.com. You can order your print stuff there, and you can also use the code SOFAKING. And thank you to Dan Camarillo. Dan Camarillo is actually coming to the studio tomorrow to check it out. So thank you to him for choking us and teaching us to choke other people.
I haven't seen Dan.
Because you don't go to class.
I do go to class on days that he's not there on purpose. It's so I can stay a white belt forever.
That's your plan? You don't just see how good you've gotten?
Is Dan going to be there? Nope. I'll just walk out. And then if he's not there, then I'll go.
I'll just tell you if he's looking. You can't. Yeah. Don't beat any higher
Just
belts.
Like lay on the ground there. Until he's not looking. Yeah.
So did I forget anyone?
I don't think so.
I think we got it all.
Covered it.
We got it all.
All right.
We out.
Peace. Right. So.
Remember, motherfuckers.
Don't be a clitard. Yeah, you got to throw a K on the front of her some shit.
Did you really just interrupt?
Yeah.
Dave's fucking snorting. He started our last episode, too. I wish, how pissed off I was?
I wish you could have seen Brad's face. He got so fucking pissed off.
It was like, that was a genuine piss, too.
You know what's funny? It's like when Brad skipped my whiskey drink to be
it
a
was
dick.
The same
thing.
It was the same level of animosity. Yeah.
Right back at
shot
you.
Shot across the table.
We're even.
Oh, that was great.
I'm not gonna, I won't fuck you up. Go for it.
I guess. I say I'm married to the game. Even got a red race. 6 white cars, and I put that on airplane.
some I'm doing all white everyday. All white everyday. All white everyday. I'm about to kill them this summer. I'm doing all white everyday. I got a white bit, white bit. Even got a white bitch. When I say white, I mean whiter than a light switch. White this, white that. In my white socks hat. Used to have them white bags where my white socks at. Nigga say so white. He telling a white lie. Never saw no white name. Never seen a white pie. Man, I swear to God, I'm being followed by a white guy. On your boy. Man, I mean harder than a white tie. White road, white wheels. Whiter than some white pills. White S550 sitting on some white heels. Niggas thinking furs for the winter. I'm thinking white fox. Pull up in a white Ford Dually on some white shots. Married to the gang. Even got a red ring. Six white cards and I put that on everything. White Benz, white Porsche, white bed, white range, white vet, white brains, all white everything. All white everything. All white everything. I'm about to kill them this summer. I'm doing all white everything. All white everything. All white everything. I'm about to kill them this summer. I'm doing all white everything. I got white lac, white lace. Both got white suede. Big white crib inside, got a white maid. White sinks, white towels, white rags, white towels. When I say white, I mean whiter than the White House. White couch, white pillars, white counters, white rugs. Since we talking white, just know I had a white plug. White doors, white walls, even got some white halls. Bathroom coat, white floors with the white stall. White van, white yard, white trees, white leaves. Go and get my mail in a pair of white spike leaves. Y'all think I'm tripping when I say I want a white horse. Walk inside the 599, see the white Porsche. Married to the gang, even got a wet ring. Six white cars and I put that on everything. White Benz, white Porsche, white bed, white range, white vet, white brains, all white everything. All white everything. All white everything. I'm about to kill them this summer. I'm doing all white everything. All white everything. All white everything. I'm about to kill them this summer. I'm doing all white everything. I got all white Harley, jet ski, them as my boatman. Get the white boy checks, ask my white postman. White socks, white drawers, polo white tee, triple white turbo. Oh, I think she like me. Pass right by white flags, like what was that? Niggas still wearing Fruity Stones, man, who does that? White platinum gold Rollie with the white stone. Looking better than Lisa Ray in a white thong. Somewhere on the white beach. In some white sand, laying in a white bucket, making a white snowman. White sky, white clouds. You say it's a white day. White sky, white clouds. I say it look like, yeah. Married to the gang.